Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. In November, voters approved a state constitutional amendment that denotes exactly where companies may participate in casino development in Ohio, and it also prescribes the exact locations for the casinos in four Ohio cities. The ballot issue passed just about everywhere but central Ohio, and casinos will kick in $200 million right off the bat for the license fees to open the casinos when and if that happens. They also create construction jobs and service industry jobs. Those are the benefits of casinos. But a lot of people don't want them, most notably the Columbus Dispatch, several city and state leaders, and folks like Chuck Hootman. He's taken a leave of absence from his messenger service this month to fight the casinos. Chuck is co-founder of Casino Free Columbus. It's sort of an online Facebook-style campaign against casinos in Columbus. And thanks for joining us, Chuck.
Thank you very much, Ann. Thanks for having me.
Also in the studio is Mark Drum. He is the treasurer for the Ohio Fraternal Order of Police. It's one of several organizations in Toledo or in Ohio that supported casinos in the Buckeye State. And he does not represent Penn National. That's a casino company that has the option on the hot property in the arena district or any casino interest per se. But the Fraternal Order of Police supported the issue on the November 3rd ballot. And we're glad to have you with us, Mark.
Thanks, Ann. It's nice to be here. And as you said, in previous initiatives, we opposed them. This was the first time that the Fraternal Order of Police of Ohio came out collectively and supported an issue pertaining to gambling.
So, way to kick it off. What's different this time?
Several things. Especially if you look at the last initiative, back then it was Issue 6 the previous year. Mm-hmm. Issue 6 did not guarantee money to the local governments. In fact, what funds it identified went to the state. And then there wasn't even a guarantee of that because it had some additional language that said they would pay a certain percentage or a lesser of if other casinos came in. And that was the same group, if you recall, that represented the Indian Reservation Casino Groups. And there was a concern, and I think the state concurred, their Office of Budget and Management identified that potentially if Issue 6 were to pass and later Indian casinos come in, they could potentially pay zero in taxes. So that was one of the reasons. And then there was some also language in that issue that prohibited law enforcement and safety forces from enforcing certain laws pertaining to the operation of the casino. And we were concerned about whether or not it dealt with liquor laws, fire safety codes, things like that. So that was why we opposed that issue.
And that was just the last one. I think this is the fourth issue. Started with the Spitzers in, out of Lorraine.
Correct.
Back in 1991, I believe. That came out of a hot issue in the legislature back then, but it's been failing miserably up until this year, this year it was 53%. It wasn't completely a landslide, but it was a healthy margin, except in central Ohio and in Columbus, 58% opposed it.
Certainly.
So Chuck Hootman, tell me why you think there was such a difference between Columbus and the rest of the state.
Well, I think you had this kind of – these stars aligning for the effort to get casinos in Ohio this time. You have the popularity of gambling. If you turn on television or NBC, ABC, CBS at 2 in the morning, there are guys playing poker. To clarify, to come out front to say I gamble. I've been to Las Vegas. I like to gamble. I'm not against giving people the right to gamble. But you can't deny that there's a social cost to establishing a casino in our community. Las Vegas works because it's a community built around gambling. They are not designed to come into an already established community, especially one like the Arena District that has been investing in trying to attract and retain young talent and get people to build their lives to live, work, and play in Columbus. Central to my argument against this, what is fueling my passion is that an outside corporate interest, an out-of-state interest, has been granted a monopoly in our state, my home state, the state I've spent my whole life in, and they were able to craft such a favorable deal for themselves that they are paying the lowest tax percentage of any casino operator in the country. So they were able to use their money and influence to get into the state constitution. Central to my argument, what fueled my passion is the fact that my community did not vote for this amendment. So, but that fuels my passion for this. The argument is a purely economic argument. So how this has led me to this fight, this monopoly that's being created for these guys represents everything that I felt powerless to change in the last 20 years since I realized that corporations will stop at nothing to increase their bottom line, including making donations to organizations such as the FOP and politicians who feel it's the status quo to act on their behalf. So this is why I'm here today, and I want to talk about the economic issue about bringing these casinos into our community.
Okay. Listeners, if you're going to call or email us today, we certainly welcome it as usual. But tell us at the outset whether you're for or against the casinos. And you can be nuanced. If you're for casinos but against putting them in the arena district, that's okay. Just let us know right at the outset. And if you're one of those that are for casinos but don't want them in the arena district, tell us, where would you put a casino in Central Ohio if not the arena district? We'd love to know. Now, the issue has been made that the gambling companies donated money to the Fraternal Order of Police. I don't know if that's the first time they ever have.
I would like to address that,
sure.
Because they did not and have not. It's very important to identify how the Fraternal Order of Police of Ohio took a position on this issue. This was presented to the membership. We represent 26,000 police officers in the state of Ohio. And it wasn't an executive board. It wasn't a small group of people. It was presented to our membership at our annual conference. They voted overwhelmingly. I would say out of the 400-plus delegates that were there, less than five opposed this issue. The FOP did not get any money from donations from Penn for this. We've not been promised any money. There is language in the legislation that is crafted to deal with training for law enforcement. That does not go to the FOP. In fact, the enabling legislation, I think, will identify it going to the Attorney General's office and to the Office of Criminal Justice Services.
But the local money, the revenue that goes to the local political entities most likely will go to law enforcement and that sort of thing. It's a big ticket item on any city budget.
It would hopefully benefit safety forces and the safety in the community. But the Fraternal Order of Police, the organization, will not get a penny of this money.
Okay, so Chuck, when you're saying they gave him money, are you saying they gave him money in the issue? In other words, they put a carrot out there in the issue? Is that what you're talking about?
That's correct. If you study the past initiatives that were put through by other casino operators, there's not a direct payout. The FOP stands to gain $13 million based on the projections of revenues for the casino. It will be significantly less than that because the casino operators held that carrot out there based on best possible projections. What they failed to realize is the risk involved in putting a casino in a community that almost 60% of the people did not support it. Therefore, the revenues will be less. The payout to the FOP is less. The website the website that Mark has started called Cops for Casinos. They were on Channel 10 a while ago. You can Google it and YouTube it and check it out. They started a website called Cops for Casinos, and it actually details the payout to the FOP of the $13 million set aside for training purposes. The problem with this issue, Ann, is there isn't anyone that supports it that's not being paid to support it. The reason he is here, and you forgot to mention that you mentioned at the beginning that he is also a lobbyist. You can bring that up after I'm done to detail it. Maybe you'll ask Mark about it. The reason he is here is because he is paid to be here by this amendment.
Okay, but Mark, you also have a background in law enforcement. You're not just a hired gun.
That is correct. I retired after 25 years of law enforcement with the Delaware Police Department. I retired at the rank of captain. I worked many years in the investigative unit. And my whole life was built around criminal justice. After I retired, I started working for the Fraternal Order of Police as a legislative agent, addressing law issues, safety issues for communities, pension issues, such as that. And I just need to definitely identify, Chuck is absolutely wrong. The amendment does not provide a penny to the Fraternal Order of Police. And even if you look at the enabling legislation, that projected $13 million will go to the state of Ohio. That money goes to the Attorney General's office for the Ohio Peace Officers Training Council, or to the Office of Criminal Justice Services, which does grants for law enforcement.
But your constituents are law enforcement, and so all things being equal, it doesn't go directly to the organization that you represent, but it goes to the entities that train and support law enforcement.
Absolutely.
Throughout the state.
It saves the money for the communities. Right now, your local communities have to send officers for annual training.
Right.
this offsets that cost for those communities. And there are some communities that cannot afford that training. And especially in this economic climate, that's one of the first things that they've cut.
Yeah, and let me say that I support that because they're going to need to be trained on this new type of crime that's coming into their community that's being brought on by casinos. And I think what also caused a lot of people to support this issue is you had the FOP coming out saying in the television commercials that they were supporting issue three. Why would they be there if they weren't getting paid to say that? So what also we need people to realize is the difference between the FOP and the police department. There is a difference. These guys represent, are paid to represent, are elected to represent, and act on the best interest of the police department. They are not the police department.
Right.
I've talked to several cops, local cops, downtown cops, who don't want this in our community. The theory for the FOP is, well, more crime means more cops need to police this crime, and that's job security. So this is the fundamental flaw with this.
You're saying there's a point of diminishing returns.
Diminishing returns.
That bringing in more money for training will be offset by the need for more training.
Exactly. So and to point that out, Mark is talking about the statewide support for this. Well, we know that we didn't support it. Neither did the Central Ohio FOP Lodge. Lodge number 9, our local FOP, didn't support it. He represents the state FOP. So once again, Mark should also be noted that he's from Delaware. So this is another interested person who stands to gain, is paid to gain from this, does not live in our community, telling us what we should have based on the statewide FOP when our local FOP did not support it.
And that's right. Not entirely correct. If you look at the news releases, you'll see Jim Gilbert, Jason Pappas, and many of the Columbus police officers there. They did not take an actual vote at the lodge because the state had acted on their behalf. They were present. All their delegates from Columbus were present.
Why didn't they vote?
The state conference and had a vote at that state conference.
Well, why did they abstain?
You'll have to ask them, but typically on a state issue, it's the state that takes the position. Local lodges don't normally take a position.
So by that rationale, the state should take all the positions for everybody and the local people shouldn't chime in to see how the members of their community feel about it?
Well, chiming in, I think what's most interesting, and we'll get to it when we come back from a break, is the idea of a statewide vote on anything.
Yeah.
And what rights do individual communities or individuals have after a statewide vote has occurred? Was it more appropriate to do something in advance of this? I mean, mm-hmm. all of this was spelled out in the legislation or in the amendment that was on the ballot. Not that everybody, it's so easy for just anybody to understand, but I want to talk about that when we get back from this break. If you would like to talk about it, if you're out there listening, 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. If you want to talk to Mark Drum of the Ohio Fraternal Order of Police or Chuck Hoopman, he is a co-founder of Casino Free Columbus. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
On Talk of the Nation, we like to be clear about what we're talking about, whether it's movies.
A B-movie was a movie that was made specifically to be on the bottom half of a double feature.
Or the auto industry.
One mid-level executive at a top automaker told me, well, 30 years ago, we were a car company that would occasionally lend money to our customers, and now we're a bank that makes cars.
Talk of the Nation. Clear, straight, open. From NPR News.
Talk of the Nation will be here later this afternoon. It starts at 2 o'clock right here on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Support for WOSU comes from Integrate, helping to improve business performance through brand design and marketing communications for more than 20 years. On the web at integrateinc.com or at 614-421-0004.
29 degrees in downtown Columbus, a few snow flurries this morning, and a chance of a little accumulation, and then a high of 38 degrees today under cloudy skies. Clouds this evening and a low tonight of 25. All Sides continues on WOSU.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest today, Mark Drum, he is with the Ohio Fraternal Order of Police, one of the organizations that supported casinos in the Buckeye State. That was on the ballot on November 3rd. Also, Chuck Hoopman. I'm sorry. I don't know. Chuck Hoopman, he's co-founder of Casino Free Columbus, and he's also co-owner of the Tip Top on Gay Street.
You got it.
Restaurant and bar on Gay Street. Thanks again for being here today.
Thank you very much.
And I would like to touch on just one thing real quick on the crime issue that Chuck talked about, because, you know, the Fraternal Police does not support this because they thought it would create more crime in an effort to require more police officers. There were national studies that said there is essentially no effect on crime from the casinos, although it recommended training to deal with a different aspect.
Type of crime?
Exactly.
Okay.
And so I wanted to at least clarify that point, because I think it's very important to identify, and especially here in Columbus. I can tell you there is already an effort on the way to get a meeting with the chief and the higher level administrators from the Columbus Police Department with the Penn National Gaming people, those that are in charge of the security around the casino, to cooperatively plan.
So is the additional revenue stream, or the new revenue stream that's set out in the amendment as it's adopted, is that the sole reason that the Fraternal Order of Police decided to support gambling in Ohio now?
No, the amendment was drafted. Actually, we did a resolution. It was drafted that identified the funds, that it identified the training. Mm-hmm. And it's my belief that the membership of the Fraternal Order of Police, that the police officers in general weren't opposed to casinos. They were opposed to the other issues, or the other, like issue six. The first two issues, the FOP didn't take a position on it one way or the other. Last time we opposed it on a statewide basis. This time we supported it.
Well, because this is the first one that you get paid to support.
This is the first one where money goes to the local communities. And, Chuck, it's real important. We do not get paid. Does it benefit public safety? Absolutely. Fraternal Order of Police does not get a single penny of this. Our organization doesn't. Certainly it would be nice if we did, mm-hmm. but we don't. It's the law enforcement communities, it's public safety in those cities that get it. But it's because this one was identified cities. Our local governments are suffering seriously. And we've got layoffs all around the state. And certainly the $63 million that this would bring into the Franklin County area for the city of Columbus is about $24 million. The city schools or the county school districts is about another $23 million. And the county at over $16 million.
Those are based on the greatest projections that Penn National has provided him.
And this
is a community that close to 60% of the people do not support it. And if you and I were going to start a business, we'd do a site analysis and take the temperature of the community.
Yes, Chuck, that's right. But gambling attracts people from far, far away. Otherwise, anyone go to Las Vegas in the middle of a desert to gamble?
Because you don't have to come home to all the problems and the social ills created in your community.
That's true. But what I'm saying is there's an attraction there.
There is an attraction.
It's right up there with the national parks.
Fantastic. So you bring up the point. What we're suffering now with the passage of these four casinos is casino saturation in the state. So you will have a casino in Cleveland, Cincinnati, Toledo, and they want to put one in Columbus.
They want Columbus more than any of them because this is where the money is.
Well, yeah. And that's why. They want it here because this is where the money is. So this amendment is a blanket approach to establish casinos in all states. So we have casino saturation. There's one in West Virginia, Cleveland, Toledo, Cincinnati, and you can go west, Indiana. So if you're an hour outside of Columbus – You could go to one of those. You could go to Cleveland. If you're an hour north, you're going to Mansfield North. You're going to Cleveland. You're not going to come down to Columbus. And also, we didn't vote for it, so we're just counting to pull the money of the local community to pay out to the state. And on the crime issue that he mentioned, it doesn't matter what the stats are. There are issues. There are studies from both sides. Penn National pays for stats. Other people, criminology professors pay to get these statistics or studies done. Here's the deal. It's the perception of crime, and that is at the heart of this. The perception is the reality.
Because it'll keep people away from downtown.
Keep people away.
They won't want to move down there.
Yeah,
that kind of
Casino
thing.
Free Columbus put out an independent study that we set out, and it said 88.7% of the people do not want a casino in Columbus, and that 78% of those felt a casino would negatively impact businesses, and that 76% of respondents thought a casino would bring an increase in crime. So whether it does or not, the perception is there, and that hurts our ability to attract and retain talent and to further develop a community that is designed to be a live, work, play destination for the city of Columbus and for the community, not a gambling destination.
Now, let's get to that issue of cherry picking who abides by statewide constitutional amendments because it got on the ballot. So was the should the battle have been had occurred before it got on the ballot in the first place? Mm-hmm. Because all that language has been out there for many, many weeks before Election Day. People knew that it detailed exactly where it would be located. It detailed which companies would be able to participate in this. I know we have an email here from Christopher regarding the issue of Central Ohio not passing the referendum. In 2001, State Issue 1, which defines marriage as a union between only one man and one woman, passed statewide. It did not pass in Athens County. Using Mr. Hoopman's argument, should the citizens of Athens County be exempt from this amendment? Why shouldn't Athens County begin issuing same-sex marriage licenses immediately? If this amendment isn't supported by the local community, why shouldn't they simply ignore it? So,
great.
Chuck, it's not the first time someone's whipped that one out.
Well, there's a couple great examples of this. There's the smoking ban, which I would call more a great gay marriage, which I would call more magic wand initiative. So gay marriage, you wave the wand. Gay marriage is now legal, which would actually, to get off topic, we can talk about that later, would actually benefit the state if you look at how big the wedding industry is. I mean, that's a $1 billion industry. So that we would have that support. What the person who wrote the email was incorrect is saying is my argument. I haven't made the argument that we should not be supporting this because we didn't vote for it. I said that is central to my passion in this.
Okay.
The argument is purely economic. So if we were to argue, and I'm talking to everyone that also supports this issue because we all need to learn how to shape our talking points and to concentrate on the issue at hand, the economic issue. So if we were to argue that Columbus shouldn't have to have this casino because we didn't vote for it, it's like trying to argue that we have a higher moral standard in Columbus than the rest of the state, and we're never going to win that argument. So we need to concentrate on the economic issue. And then because if we don't, we'll get caught up in all this constitutional validity that we cannot get tangled up in while this thing gets sneaked into our community. So we have to keep our eye on this economic.
Well, a lot of people said at the time with the smoking ban, for example, that it would hurt their business if the smoking ban was passed.
I can tell you it's been great. I got the whole reason I got into the bar business because of the smoking ban. I don't like to be around the bar.
Well,
it's great.
Right. But some people have said that it's hurt their business. So regardless of how you feel about it personally, some people have said that. So what if they just ignored it and say, no, this isn't good for us. So we're going to do it our way. Because it's economically damaging to us.
I agree with Chuck. I don't think you can undermine the Constitution.
Yeah.
The state every elected official in the state is obliged to swear to enforce the state constitution. This was a constitutional amendment that I think is binding. Now, whether certain things can't be addressed, I understand Chuck's issue. The financial aspect of it, maybe he knows something that I don't know, but I thought there was only one or two states that had a higher interest rate return. Pennsylvania, as an example, they're 50%. That dealt with only slot machines.
Right.
Full-range casino gambling, I think this was one of the highest in the nation for percentage return. Now, where their price may seem a little low was their licensing fee, the $200 million.
Yeah, it should be $250 million per casino. It's $50 million.
But what you see them putting on the ground – From what we've seen from Penn Gaming and from the group up in Cleveland, they're not spending just $250 million. They're going to spend probably closer to $400 million on investment, much more than was spent on the Nationwide Arena or those other arenas in the district. They are spending a lot more money. And that's rather than put it in the license, I think they're putting that money in the ground.
Well, that's also going to lead to the Columbus taxpayers having to reroute sewers and infrastructure. This is not just costs that they are incurring. It is our costs that we pay our tax dollars for, costs that we voted for an increase in taxes to support the FOP, to support police and fire. We've already issued our vote of confidence and support for them. They're saying we need this casino to do it again. Well, what's next? Everyone else is doing this. So do we legalize prostitution next year if the economy doesn't turn around? How desperate does it have to get?
I think that you see that the casino groups are paying most of that infrastructure, from my understanding as well, Chuck.
Most? If it's not 100%, go home.
Well, I mean, the city can negotiate any kind of deal they want when they issue permits and that sort of thing and the enabling sort of legislation. Let's go to some callers now, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Tony, you're on the air. You are against casinos. Just across the board against casinos or just against casinos in the Arena District?
Pretty much across the board against casinos in Ohio. I think that we were, as an electorate, we were somewhat hoodwinked to get it into our constitution that we have casinos. But that said, unless we can fight it in Columbus and it does come to pass, then I would just like to throw something out to say, put it out at Scioto Downs. We already have gambling there, and there's plenty of land. Don't mess up the Arena District. Put it somewhere that's not so objectionable.
I agree.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Tony.
Thank you.
Well, what I would say to that is that's an argument I hear a lot, and I agree that we don't want to put it in an area that we've built up to create. So Penn is coming in, and with this blanket approach, the amendment to the Constitution is establishing the casinos in all four cities. And their perception is that the area, such as the Arena District, needs help. So they're going to help us out. They're saying they're doing us a favor. Guess what? In the Flats, needs help. The Arena in Cleveland, they need help. The Arena District doesn't need any help. We just built one of the best ballparks in the country down there. This is a family destination. If you are dropping off your 15-year-old kid to go to a ball game and there's all this crime surrounding a casino down there, do you think you're going to drop him off and go home? No, you're not even going to go down there. You're going to go to other cities that don't have casinos.
I disagree. The casino is further west, and I think the Arena District does need help. We've just seen that in the papers
here
in the last week or so with the concerns about the Blue Jackets and how they're going to maintain keeping them. If they're gone, half of that Arena District gets rolled
up. It's not because of ticket sales. It's because of mismanaged money.
Okay. You are listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820, and you're also listening to Mark Drum. He's with the Ohio Fraternal Order of Police, one of those organizations that supported casinos in the Buckeye State. And then also Chuck Hootman, he is co-founder of Casino Free Columbus, and he's co-owner of the Tip Top Restaurant and Bar down on Gay Street in downtown Columbus. Let's go to another phone call. This time, Rick, you are for casinos in Columbus.
Oh, I'm just for commerce in Columbus.
Okay.
Commerce, brick and mortar, building, people moving around. The crime statistics, all the details, everything that's being talked about here is all predictions. They're all predictions.
Well, you know, so is the generation of the revenue that's going to come from it. There's not, you know, Rick, are you willing to gamble on that, that it's going to bring in the revenue that they're promising?
It's going to bring in activity revenue. Crime is everywhere rampant as much as possible. Crime is never going to change. It's going to be the same. No casino I've lived in Detroit, downtown Detroit. There's as far as I can see, there is no crime that's advanced from a casino.
Why did you move?
Because I was transferred to Columbus.
Yeah. Okay. Why, what attracted you to Columbus?
The Buckeyes. The offer of the job offer was too good to pass up.
And he makes a couple.
I have seen other communities. I've seen Erie, Pennsylvania, which went through the same agonizing 5, 7, 18 years of this with the gambling, and they have Scioto Downs up there. It is absolutely it's not a boondoggle. It's not a disaster. There's problems with there's problems with everything that's gigantic and bureaucratic.
But there's a higher level of crime. We're not talking about breaking into cars in Victorian Village. Sure, that will happen. But there is a documented high level amount of crime, the greed and corruption.
Well, I think you know.
So let me talk about the jobs he's talking.
High level amount of crime. Columbus has got it's a very very reasonable, environment for someone who lives in. I'm from Manhattan, from New York City. This particular argument that I'm hearing and is being waged very well by the separate parties. Each party, the party against and the party for. Very good. It's just commerce. It, to me,
okay.
Just commerce. It's part
I've got something that's going to support you on that.
Exists on the planet.
Okay.
Every shape and form and. Every time I go to the gas station, I get a lotto ticket. I said, is the casino open today?
Okay, I want to ask a question. I want to talk about the kinds of crime that we're talking about because, Rick, you're saying that you think that it's sort of misleading when we just say there's going to be more crime. And a lot of times the crime is sort of like with – drug addiction. It's an ancillary thing. It's you're committing a crime to get money to go out and gamble. Certainly nothing new. Kiting checks, that sort of a thing.
Sure.
Mark, what, from the Fraternal Order of Police's perspective, what sorts of crime are you talking about when you say that that the Penn has come in and wants to talk to city leaders about how to deal with that?
And what the plan is to come in. And since casinos are new for Columbus, I believe Central Ohio has one of the best law enforcement agencies in the country. And I can assure you that the administrators, not just the police department, but the mayor's office, will sit down to make sure that it maintains the safety in their community.
But what kind of crime are you preparing for?
You've got the concerns about check issues, embezzlements. Any place you have a larger turnout of people, you will have car break-ins and that kind of thing.
So you're saying the crime will go up?
No, I'm saying you focus the law enforcement to those areas. You prepare for them by training, by meeting with the people beforehand, by identifying what the outside security levels are. Certainly, certainly when the arena district itself went in, if you looked at crime when nothing was there, Chuck, mm-hmm. it was probably pretty low. There is more crime around the arena district today than there was 15 years ago. And that will be the same type of an increase where you have more people. I agree with the earlier caller. Commerce. Look at the additional availability and people that will come to the convention center. Casino is an attraction. It attracts people from around the country. I think there will be more commerce in the downtown area. And certainly, as he identified Detroit, I went to Detroit recently. That area looks terrible until you get to the areas where the casinos are, which happens to be close to their ballparks. That is a nice area. And you see law enforcement saturating that area. And when he talks about safety, I think that's the area where he's talking about safety, because it's focused to address the larger number of people.
Okay, we have to take another break, and then Chuck Hoopman will get back with you.
Yeah, let's talk about the jobs.
Right. Chuck Hoopman is co-founder of Casino Free Columbus, and also with us in the studio today, Mark Drum of the Ohio Fraternal Order of Police. 614-292-8513. We will get to your calls when we return, but if you'd like to call, join the conversation. We welcome it. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
On Monday, December 14th at 9 p.m., watch Anatomy of a Pandemic on WOSU-TV. In response to the 2009 H1N1 influenza virus pandemic, Ray Suarez from PBS NewsHour examines the human dimension of a pandemic's impact on modern society and the science and history of these health crises. Watch this report from the front lines of the outbreak control effort this Monday night at 9 on WOSU-TV.
Good morning. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News. In 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, Hour 2 of All Sides will be here, and we'll discuss living a life in nature in Ohio with natural history writer and artist and NPR commentator Julie Zickafoos. That discussion begins at 11 right here on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Support for WOSU comes from Meijer, a family-owned Midwest supercenter. Meijer offers apples locally grown by Ohio farmers. More information is available at Meijer.com.
30 degrees in downtown Columbus, snow flurries this morning and a slight accumulation, and then clouds today and a high of 38 degrees for this afternoon. Evening clouds tonight and a low of 25. Clouds with a chance of rain and maybe a little sleet on Tuesday and a high of 38. All Sides continues on WOSU 820.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about the casinos in Columbus, or the lack thereof, or the hope for lack thereof, or I don't know. You know, there's all kinds of variations on a theme when it comes to casinos in Central Ohio. Across the state, 53% voted for casinos, but in Columbus, it was 58% against. And Chuck Hoopman, co-founder of Casino Free Columbus, it's an online sort of Facebook-style campaign against casinos in Columbus, is here to talk about that, and also Mark Drum. He's with the Ohio Fraternal Order of Police. Chuck, you wanted to talk about the issue of job creation. The casino companies have promised, is it
34,000
jobs. And I take it you don't agree with that.
Well, I want to speak first to the caller that
said, Rick. Okay.
Yeah, Rick had mentioned two very important things. First of all, that he moved here for a job. So, and the other thing that I want to talk about is the quality of jobs and the type of jobs that we want to attract, and the possibility and the opportunity we're being handed here to establish an identity as Columbus as a city of innovation, not exploitation. And we have a strong, innovative, and independent spirit in this community. That identity will shine through the rest of the country. If we're trying to attract and retain young talent, this is the kind of identity we need to get behind, not establishing casino jobs. On the jobs thing, he's talking about commerce. There are jobs. Guess what? If they weren't building a casino, they would have started building condos already on that site. People would be working on that site already. There was a $750,000 grant given to Plaza Properties to build condos on that site.
Well, first to clean up the brownfield.
Clean up
and,
the brownfield.
Where the
it was an EPA grant to
the Jaeger factory.
The Jaeger machine company over there. They got $750,000 to do an environmental cleanup. That was for condos. They did the bait and switch. They're going to do a casino. Also, people don't realize is the environmental cleanup required for a commercial property
is different.
So they're making money on it. Back to the jobs.
Well, environmental cleanup for a commercial property, but this is where people are going to there's a lot of people. Is
we're
it that much different than residential?
I don't know. I went down there and took some video of it. They're throwing everything with reckless abandon into a truck and taking it to the dump. I don't know what kind of environmental cleanup that is, but someone from the EPA needs to be down there monitoring it. Back to Rick's comment about the jobs in commerce. So there are jobs. There were jobs there. We would actually be putting people to work quicker, more quickly, on the park that is proposed down there before this came in and the condos. So we want jobs. Ohioans need jobs. I know that. There are people that are home that are waiting to go to work. I understand that. But after we build this casino, what are your kids going to build? That's what I want to know. So central to this, the Democratic Party, is why they came out for this, is because the labor unions are putting pressure on them to get jobs. If you look back over history, the history with the labor unions and the Democrats are honorable jobs. Honorable jobs. Stone and roses was the mantra through FDR. Honorable jobs. So there are job opportunities in this state. There are plenty. We just have to put pressure on our local politicians, our local government, and to get private and public investment to build the jobs. Here are the jobs. Ready? They're doing ODOT is proposing a 70-71 split to make the same mistake they did in the 1950s when they cut a swath through one of the most vibrant, let alone African-American, most vibrant African-American neighborhoods in the country. They're going to knock down some of the central business buildings on Parsons Avenue. They proposed building no caps into that neighborhood. There could be up to 10 caps built into Old Townies to build up that community. There are caps that need to go into German Village on 3rd Street and 4th Street, and those are honorable jobs, building bridges into communities that could lead to future development.
Okay.
And not building something that sucks money away from our community and gives it to an out-of-state interest.
Okay, but building a dream can include a lot of different things.
Correct.
Nothing's an either-or proposition, particularly now with the stimulus money flowing into the state.
And there's stimulus money for that.
I don't know if it's going to create more jobs or not in the law enforcement community. Is that a consideration?
Certainly, you know, there was a strong concern about some layoffs here about a year ago within the Columbus Police Department. And I think with any influx of I do not see police officers working in the casinos, if that's what you mean. But certainly with the influx of tourists that will come in, the additional people in the area, I think that's certainly going to be a concentration that the police administration looks at to make sure that they have proper forcing for that area.
Mark, are you convinced or are you comfortable that the license fees are adequate? We were talking about that a little earlier. They spent $50 million just on this campaign over the course of a few months, and that's all they're going to have to pay for a license fee at each location.
I try to touch on that a little bit. The license fee, frankly, I thought was lower than most. But if you go to some of these other states where they paid a $200 million license fee, they put up a $50 million hut What you see in this venture is they are going to invest the money on the properties in downtown. Now, my guess is the condos that went in were not going to be a $250 million plus, probably closer to $400 million by they get done, investment in that community. What you will see is them spending that kind of money in the city of Columbus. Certainly every labor union in the state was behind us because of the construction jobs and because of the benefits to the local communities. I can tell you now the property rates in downtown Ohio, rental rates are probably about as low as I've seen them in years.
In downtown Columbus?
Because there is saturation. And if you go by most of these new condos, you see for sale signs because there is becoming a saturation.
Or you see for rent signs. Let's take an email right now from Lee. Lee writes, I am anti-casinos. Casinos will not provide a long-term solution to our recent economic troubles. Columbus residents have long recognized this and voted these issues down repeatedly. Our elected leaders must do everything within their power to come up with a way to prevent issue three from becoming a reality. Otherwise, they must find a way out the door. And then we have a couple callers here who are for casinos. Let's see. Oh, Kathy, you're on the air. You have a question.
Yeah, I do. Actually, you know, I'm going to be quite honest with you. I at the beginning, I was for the building of the casinos because I'm panicked about the economy here. But, you know, listening to your program has been very enlightening, and so I appreciate what you're doing. I am now leaning more towards the idea that the casinos are not going to benefit us in a way that is productive.
What inspired you in that direction? What changed your mind?
The gentleman, Mr. Hootman. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Chuck Hootman. But what did he say? That
it's the integrity of his argument that, you know, he's looking to help Ohio develop in a way that is not just an easy, quick fix, but something that will sustain the state. And I think that's something that, you know, I've been to Vegas, and I think it's a city that somebody spat on and never cleaned up. And actually, are they not suffering from this economy as well? That's my
question. They have the second highest foreclosure rate in the country.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's struggling right now. You can go to, you know, Kentucky, Indiana. They all have a decline in their revenues. But that the economy's, you know, in the tank. So
every community that even hosts a casino right now seems to not be having an upswing either. So, you know, is this a solution that we should just think is going to be an easy fix? And it's not. It's going to take time. So I'm not sure that the casinos are the answer.
Kathy, let me ask you a question. If Columbus doesn't participate in this, there is not a casino built here for one reason or another, however they manage it, should Columbus or Franklin County benefit from the statewide revenue take then that will be brought in? Because it's a pile of money that'll go to the state and then be divvied up. Should our community forego that?
That's fair. You know, I mean, what
you say yes, that we shouldn't take the money or we shouldn't be getting a cut of it if we're not willing to
support it, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, it
makes sense.
But I don't think Mr. Hootman is saying that we should benefit from it. You know, I mean, I don't think he's trying to say that.
No, he's not. I was just curious, you know, how people feel about that because it'll be tens of millions of dollars a year.
On the high side, as Chuck claims, it's the high side, $63 million, roughly $20 million apiece for the schools, the county, and the city.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And $13 million for the FOP. Here's the deal.
None.
You can have a quick fix or a long-term solution, Ann, and they are never the same thing. This is an economic issue. This is a short-sighted issue. This is a Hail Mary pass with a full quarter of football left to play. You wouldn't expect Terrell Pryor for the Buckeyes to throw one deep into the end zone with 10 minutes left in the game that we're not losing. This is a desperate Hail Mary pass that we do not need to throw.
Okay, let's take another call. Let's see. Deborah, you're on the air. You're for casinos? Deborah?
Uh-oh. Where's the phone, Marcus?
Hello, Deborah?
Hey, the phone!
Deborah?
Oh, hello. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You support casinos.
Yeah,
okay.
I did. My question was, number one, on the health part of the issue, I'm in that field. In the amendment, is anything in there about the non-smoking issue, because Ohio is non-smoking?
No. But
there won't be smoking in the casino, right? Yeah.
That's my understanding.
Well, that's where they start out. What everyone needs to realize, the track record of Penn National is this is their shot, their tentacle into our community. And if they can get legislature passed to start a casino, they can also get things passed to, well, they're already open 24 hours. They will push for a 24-hour liquor license. They will push for to give away food.
Mark, I was wondering if the Fraternal Order of Police was concerned about having so much power, so much economic power resting with so few, you know, entities in one state, particularly a populous state the size of Ohio.
You mean Penn Gaming? And,
right.
You know, I think the issue there, and you've seen this at least in some of the legislation introduced, is a prohibition against how much money they can give to legislatures, which without the money, I think it takes away that power.
Except that it is a monopoly, I mean, ultimately.
It's a nationally traded company, Penn Gaming is. Certainly they have other investments other than casinos. So it's something that you, I, or Chuck can actually invest in.
So on touching on that, the donations, Penn National gave out – this is a Washington Times article that came out on November 24th, 2009. Penn National has spent more money on political campaigns in recent years than Citigroup, Merrill Lynch, Goldman Sachs, and Bank of America. They doled out more than $40 million in political donations from 2007 to 2008 to help push pro-gambling ballot measures in Ohio and Maryland. So – you're talking about a company, an entity. He's saying his argument was, well, they're a publicly traded company, so they're not a monopoly. That those aren't mutually exclusive. So what I'm saying is this company has spent $40 million to get this – to grease the wheels to pass this into our community. They have made donations to our local politicians, our statewide representatives. It is up to us as citizens to put pressure on those representatives to come out and oppose this casino and be honest about the donations they
receive. Who have they given money to at a statewide level?
You know, Ann, I have all that information. The problem is that political corruption is not the smoking gun, so I choose not to focus on that.
Okay, I just want to be clear. If you're gonna make an assertion like that, Chuck,
I will gladly. So on our Facebook fan page, Casino Free Columbus, we have all the articles, the newspaper articles from across the country. Kind of detailing all the misgivings from Penn National and all of their donations. We'll have that up when Herman to read, so I don't have to read it here for everybody. And then there's a great discussion going on there, and I invite everyone to get involved. And there's some action items on the Facebook page, and we'll have a website soon.
I think the issue about monopoly is that no one else will be able to start a casino business in Ohio.
It would take an additional amendment.
And
that falls with why did it have to be done by amendment? Our legislators wouldn't address the issue. They saw that our communities, the citizens in Ohio, wanted this, yet they wouldn't act on it. So an initiative petition was obtained, and it was put on the ballot as a constitutional amendment. Had the legislators dealt with this, some of these little fine-tuning things could have been taken care of in the legislative process.
Okay, let's take another phone call. Paul, you're against it. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Paul.
And gentlemen, I'm not anti-gambling, but I'm very much against the way this whole thing has taken place. And certainly I think that the Arena District is possibly the worst possible location for it. The FOP gentleman just hit the nail on the head. The state of Ohio, our legislatures, completely, absolutely passed the buck, dropped the ball. Supposedly, this is what we pay them for, is to, you know, represent us and to pass laws and to manage things effectively. Mm-hmm. And they simply just said, oh, well, no, I don't want to commit to anything. I'll just take the money and, you know, sit over here quietly and let a giant corporation do whatever it wants. And I blame the legislature. Again, this is not just Ohio. Well, this is bad law. I mean, this is just the stupidest thing in the world. Our state constitution is far too important to simply let corporations come in and buy their way into amendments to it.
But Ohioans voted for it, Paul.
Yes, I agree.
They spent Penn National spent $60 million right. driving
No question. I mean,
so,
yeah.
And they $60 million on advertising, let alone $40 million they gave to politicians and organizations like the FOP. So, and the only people that were coming out against it.
Chuck, they did not give the FOP donations.
Well, this amendment.
You'll get that through your promise. Head sooner or later, Chuck.
So the problem is, and also the people that were putting the issues out opposing Issue 3 were other casino entities that stand to lose right. by Ohio having it. So the true social cost was never told in the ads. It was just like, hey, don't let this guy have a casino in your state. And they're just holding, biding their time so they could do it next year.
Okay. Hey, Paul, thanks for giving us a call. Okay, let's read an email from Carl. How can the citizens of Ohio pass an amendment to the Constitution and some people don't want to follow it by passing other laws? Isn't that like Franklin County not having the death penalty when the rest of the state does? Now, we've talked about this earlier. I feel like we still haven't gotten – I haven't gotten my arms around the logic of how the city – you know, we can have this constitutional amendment. It's been adopted by the state regardless of how it went. You know, how – I don't understand the logic of saying, well, we don't have to abide by it.
Oh, I think any attempt to undermine the Constitution is a terrible idea on the city's part. And from what I hear, Chuck, I kind of think he's leaning the same way. It's the Constitution, they've spoke.
Okay.
So you're saying any attempt to undermine the Constitution by the citizens who voted against Penn National's attempt to undermine our Constitution?
Well, they put it on the ballot fair and square.
Well, $40 million in political contributions, I wouldn't call fair and square.
Politics.
But see, that's the status quo, and that's the problem. We think that's politics, and that's okay, and it's not okay.
After the fact, though, it some people say it's too late. That these are the arguments that should have been made
before.
That
is so defeatist. The complacency of the middle class is going to ruin this country. That is so defeatist. For people to think that there's nothing we can do. That's how we got this country in the great position that it's in, and that's how we can rise up to defeat these out-of-state entities.
I have to cut this off right now.
Okay,
we're running out of time, but I want to thank you, Mark Drum from the Ohio Fraternal Order of Police, and Chuck Hootman, co-founder of Casino Free Columbus. Thanks a lot. Obviously,
there's
a lot more
Ann.
To talk
thank
about.
You,
I hope you'll come
Thanks
back
lot,
again. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.